Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I want you to pretend for a moment. Let's think maybe about a famous person that you would like to meet. Now let's pretend you were given the opportunity to meet that person. Maybe it's the President of the United States. Maybe it's a famous singer or a movie star. Or maybe it's someone else. What would you do to prepare to meet them? No matter who it is, I am sure, you would probably go out and buy a new outfit and maybe even get a haircut. For weeks, you would be telling your friends about how excited you were to meet them. You would put it on your calendar and you wouldn't let anything get in the way of keeping that appointment. You would give that person your first and your best. So, what priority are you making to spend time with your Redeemer? Are you giving Him your first and best? Do you start your day with Him, or does He get pushed aside? Do you tell your friends about what He's done for you, or are you ashamed to talk about your faith? Let's look at a few texts about giving God our first priority and our very best effort. The first one is the text that John read just a little bit ago. It's Matthew 6:33, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And throughout today's sermon, there are a lot of texts I'm going to read, so I may not slow it down for everybody to turn to them. But so I apologize if you. Once you can write them down or ask me for them later if you don't have time to write them down. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians 3:23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might. Are you giving God your first and your best? The last Sabbath I preached, my sermon was about the seed among thorns in Matthew 13, verse 7. Now, near the end of the message, I gave a personal testimony of some things that I was struggling with. Instead of devoting my time to the things that have true value, too often I was giving priority to the things that don't matter as much. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Martha is busy serving guests, and Mary can be found sitting at Jesus' feet. She's not willing that she would miss anything that He has to say. And the text reads, "Now it happened as they went that He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Ellen White tells us in The Desire of Ages, page 525, that the one thing that Martha needed was a calm, devotional spirit, a deeper anxiety for knowledge concerning the future, immortal life, and the graces necessary for spiritual advancement. The cause of Christ needs careful, energetic workers. There is a wide field for Martha's, with their zeal and active religious work. But let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. Recently, God has convicted me that I need to give Him my first and my best. There have been so many times that I intended to have time for prayer and Bible study, but it either received very little time or got pushed aside completely. Even though I desired quality time with the Lord, it wasn't consistent, and I felt the impact of not making time for him. On the days that this would happen, I would tell myself that even though I hadn't had my time with God, or maybe it just wasn't quality time with God, that he knew my heart and my intentions, and he still loved me. Now, all of those things, those are true. But I felt God telling me that he wanted more than my good intentions. He wanted me to take action. I'm sure many of you can relate to the feeling of being consumed by your to-do lists. Do we need to do the laundry? Yes, but first sit at the feet of Jesus. Do we have to go to work or study for school? Yes, but first sit at the feet of Jesus. Do we have church responsibilities that we need to fulfill? Yes, but first we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. It is so easy to get caught up with the things that we need to do. Unfortunately, sometimes we give them priority over the one who deserves our first and our best. Giving God our first and best starts in the heart and mind. It starts with the choices we make based on the desires that we cherish and the things we choose to let run our lives. We must cultivate in our minds a stronger desire to spend time with the Lord. Once our priorities are in order and God truly holds first place in our lives, we will want to give him our best. There are many things that we can do to strengthen our desire for God. If we take time to do these things on a daily basis, we will find that our cup is overflowing with love for him. One of the first things we can do is to spend some time in nature. Step outside and listen to the birds. Lay on a blanket at night and look up at the stars. His handiwork is all around us. When we are wrapped up in our jobs and our to-dos, we don't take the time to slow down and see the beauty that's all around us. When you're out in nature, you feel closer to God, and you're easily reminded of his power and his goodness toward us. Ellen White reminds us in the book Adventist Home, page 144, that God has surrounded us with nature's beautiful scenery to attract and interest the mind. It is his design that we should associate the glories of nature with his character. If we faithfully study the book of nature, we shall find it a fruitful source for contemplating the infinite love and power of God. Here in Michigan, we are blessed to experience distinct seasons. That is something that I have learned. Even in winter, we can appreciate the beauty of the snow. Now, I know that there are many activities that can be done during the winter. However, it seems that there is a tendency to stay indoors during the months of December through March. If you haven't been outside much lately, I thought I would take a moment, and the guys back here at the sound booth are going to help me out. There's a short video clip that I was going to have them play, and I have to have a disclaimer here that I am borrowing this from Pure Michigan. So just wanted to remind you guys of what your state looks like when it's not cold outside. All right. Thank you, guys. So, wasn't that beautiful? Yeah, we live in a beautiful state. So, the next thing, while you work, play, or relax at home, you can listen to heavenly music. Music that uplifts the soul and sets our minds on him. There are a few things that make me long for heaven more than a beautiful song. God has created music for our enjoyment and for his worship. I think we all can agree that we have already been blessed this morning with some music today. When used to glorify him, music can touch the hearts of those that would otherwise be unreached. Here are a few verses that remind us the importance of music and how it is a powerful part of worship. Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 19, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next thing that we need to do is to get in the habit of recognizing the many things that God has done for us. Each of us have been abundantly blessed. Blessings come in many forms. Things such as health, family, finances, freedom to worship, and talents that God has given us to use for His glory. We need to take time to appreciate these things and remember that it is all from God. There is nothing that is good in us except what He has done for us. Psalm 77, verse 11 through 12 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 through 19, and I'm only going to read a couple of other verses. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. And then in verse 12 through 16, there's a reminder to God's people about what he did for them when they were going through the wilderness. And then also talking about the blessings that he was going to provide to them once they were in the promised land. Then in verse 17, it says, Then you say in your heart, My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. If you are not already doing this, take time out of your day to reflect on the precious sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. The Almighty Creator actually came to this earth and took on the form of humanity so that he could give us the opportunity of eternal life with him. The fact that we even have the opportunity of salvation is the biggest blessing that we could ever receive. We must make sure that we do not take it for granted. Christ gave us his best. He not only wants us to give him our best, he actually deserves it from us. John 3:16 through 17, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mark 12, 30 through 31 says, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So it sounds like to me that we're supposed to be giving God our best. Now the next one I'm going to mention is a little uncomfortable to think about, and I have intentionally saved it for last because it's not something that any of us would like to hear. I firmly believe that we need to allow ourselves to experience pain. I'm not saying that we should seek out pain or do this intentionally in any way, but we should allow ourselves to feel the pain that comes from seeing all of the suffering that is around us. Suffering is so common that we can get calloused to it and go about our day as if it's not a big deal. Some people don't really let it affect them unless it really affects them. But this is not what Christ wants us to do. Sin is bad. The effects of sin have permeated every facet of our lives. Just when you thought that it couldn't get any worse, it does. I work in finance at MidMichigan Health here in town. Part of my job requires analyzing patient data based on specific criteria. This is requested by leadership. Recently, I was working on a particular request. As I started looking down through a short list of diagnoses that I was going to prepare a report on, I started thinking about how glad I was that I didn't have any of those conditions. Then it dawned on me that this was a sample of Satan's plan for us. God never wanted his children to experience any of these things. Now, you may be in your personal valley of the shadow of death, or you may not. Seeing and hearing about others' suffering is just one more thing that points us to Christ and makes us long for him. Don't you long for suffering to end? 1 Corinthians 12:25-26. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we take time each day to do these things, to spend time in nature, to listen to heavenly music, to reflect on his blessings, to remember his sacrifice for us, and to allow ourselves to be touched by the suffering around us, we will be able to say with David in Psalm 27:6, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So far, we have spent time this afternoon increasing our desire for God. So how do we take action to give God our first and best? The key is to start your day right with Bible study and prayer. Make a commitment to begin your day with God, and you will always have time for him, no matter what the rest of the day holds for you. Part of Jesus' mission to this earth was to give us a perfect example of how we are to live our lives. He showed us how to love God and how to love each other. He also reminded us of the things that we can do to prepare ourselves for our daily battle against our enemy, Satan. In Matthew 14:23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 5:16 says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Luke 6:12. "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." And these are just a handful of texts that talks about Jesus praying. Matthew 4:1-11 talks about the story where Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. In verse 3, Satan tempts Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God by turning stones to bread. And verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Verses 5-6, Satan's tempting Jesus to prove he's the Son of God by jumping off the top of the temple and seeing if God would send his angels to keep him safe. Verse 7, Jesus says, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8-9, Satan is tempting Jesus, saying he would give him the kingdoms of the world if he would but worship him. And in verse 10, Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." After this, Satan leaves in defeat. Now, do you think that Jesus would have been able to withstand the devil if he had not been so connected with his Father and had spent time studying Scripture and committing it to memory? It is so important to give God not only our first, but our best. Getting up early to spend time in prayer and Bible study does not do much good if we are too tired to stay awake or pay attention. Giving God our best relies heavily on us making healthy choices. These include getting the rest that we need, drinking plenty of water, and eating healthy foods. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So what about being distracted? I'm sure that all of us have experienced distractions during our prayer and Bible study time. Maybe your distractions come in the form of a 2-year-old girl with a beautiful smile and a tug on your hand to come play with her. It is so hard to say no to spending time with the ones we love. That is why it is important to make time for God before they wake up and choose a location where you can be alone. Distractions can take on less worthy forms, such as thinking about a song you heard, or a movie you watched, or even something that you need to do later on in the day. One thing I found that helps guard against this is talking out loud when I pray and reading out loud sometimes even when I'm studying the Bible. It is much easier to focus when you're hearing the words and not just thinking them. Another thing you can try is praying while you walk. Some of the best prayer time I've had is when I'm walking my dog during the early morning hours. I'm sure there are many other ways to combat distraction, but one of the best that I found is asking God to keep your mind focused during your time with him. Let him know that it is important to you to spend quality time with him and ask for his help. Now, with all of the plans we make to start the day right, Satan may still have some small victories. Emergencies happen. You may wake up to a child that has a high fever or the flu. You may come downstairs in the morning, like I did a few weeks ago, and discover that your upstairs bathroom is leaking water into your downstairs bedroom. Believe me, I know things can happen. I don't want you to beat yourself up because it's been a while since you've had a consistent time each day with the Lord. Believe me, I know what that feels like. The important thing is that we commit that with the Lord's help, we will press on and not let these things discourage us or knock us off track. As I bring my sermon to a close today, I would like to leave you with a few promises that God has given us regarding those who give him their first and best. Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13, "For I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Luke 11:9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." John 14, verse 13 through 14 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." There is a quote from Ellen White in the Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 85. It says, "The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, its power, by daily earnest prayer, will have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. By maintaining a connection with God, we shall be enabled to diffuse to others, through our association with them, the light, the peace, the serenity that rule in our hearts. The strength acquired in prayer to God, united with persevering effort and training the mind in thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepares one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances." And then one last verse. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 17 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord."
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.